just a note, the hymns, the two middle hymns, the nine is supposed to be a zero.
Who's that?
The only nines that are up there. So it's actually 406 and 402. Let's open with hymn number one. Unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity
of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I,
a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. Of sin, and daily dost grant us thy gracious help in all our need. We beseech thee so to enlighten our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may never forget these thy blessings, but ever live in thy fear, and trusting fully in thy grace, with thankful hearts, continually praise and glorify thee. Through thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for this 14th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 4th chapter of Proverbs, the 14th through the 23rd verse. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of Galatians, the 16th through the 24th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Here ends the epistle lesson. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Hallelujah. Chapter of Luke, the 11th through the 19th verse. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 406. Chapter of Numbers, the 4th through the 9th verse. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Why have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live."
And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Teach us thereby to look unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Amen. Dear Christian friends, one bite brought about the fall of the entire human race. One bite of the forbidden fruit which God had placed before Adam and Eve, and all men were made sinners. And though it was man who first bit, sin would bite back, and the result would be death. But unfortunately, the poison of sin did not die with Adam and Eve. They passed it on to their children, and their children's children. And so death passed upon all men, and because of that, all men have sinned. We bear the marks of Adam's sin in our lives to this day. And God counts us guilty from the moment we are conceived. Where is our hope? Where can we be set free when from birth we already bear the curse? Is there any escape? No, there is no escape. Escape implies that we can in some way run away from the curse of sin or sneak out from under its grasp. That is not possible. For we bear the sin in our own flesh. Can we outrun our flesh? By no means. And yet, though there is no escape, there is a rescue. For Jesus was lifted up upon the cross that we might be cured of the serpent's bite. By faith, we look to the cross and are delivered from the final curse of sin, which is eternal death. And yet, we still are not rid of this sin. It dwells within our body. And even when we have been set free, we carry it around with us in our flesh. Only now, as St. Paul says, we can either walk in the new spirit which God has created in us by baptism, or we can walk in our flesh and obey all of its desires and do the things which our flesh loves to do, but which are not pleasing to God. But that is not who we are. We are no longer under the curse of those sins. So they don't have any dominion over us anymore. Now we are under our Lord Jesus Christ. He has granted us new life by His Spirit. He has washed us and made us clean and forgiven us all those sins which so easily beset us. And therefore, because we have been redeemed, we truly are cured of the serpent's bite. Let us therefore walk in this newfound freedom of the Spirit, that we might live unto God and not fulfill the sinful desires of our flesh. Israel was a people whom God had redeemed, but they too still had their flesh. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the Israelites were surely a much more docile people. The stubborn idolatry in which their parents constantly indulged was not so evident in their children anymore. But they were sinners still, and still prone to rebellion. And so it is that now in our text we find the people of Israel very discouraged. They had become impatient and short-tempered because they were so close to entering the promised land. But they were sorely disappointed when they were turned away at the southern border, where the land of Edom was, by the Edomites who would not let them pass through their land. And unlike God had done in so many other cases where He ordered the Israelites to do battle with those who stood in their way, God specifically forbade Israel from doing so with Edom. He said, you have to go around. And they had to enter the promised land from the east. But to get there, they would have to travel through some of the worst desert they had yet faced. In their impatience and dread of that travel, they lapsed into the behavior of their parents, and they began once again to murmur against God. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food or water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. how ungrateful. They hate the very blessings which God gave them. He preserved their lives these 40 years with that manna from heaven, but now they despised it. How true it is that when we are discouraged, we can no longer see any of the blessings which God has given to us. We see the prize set before our eyes, the prize of eternal life in the promised land of heaven. But God directs us the long way around. He says to us, "No, you cannot have that now. Instead, you must go through the desert." And what choice do we have? God sends us into the desert, and so it is the desert for us. We certainly do not see the wisdom of God at work when He lets us suffer. Why doesn't He make it easy for us and let us have the prize without enduring the pain or the trouble? But as our wise Father, who knows best what we need rather than what we want, He deliberately makes us do things the hard way. He sends us into the wilderness to temper us, so that the dead works of our flesh may not rule over us, so that we will not walk in them and indulge in them as the children of this world who have no hope. If He always made the way easy, we would not learn to trust in Him, and we surely would forget whatever trust we had in Him. Our faith would be shallow and weak, probably just a byword. Like the 9 lepers in the gospel lesson, we would forget the one who heals us as soon as we were healed. We would certainly not be inclined to continue to walk in the Spirit of God and praise Him for His goodness if the way were always easy. And so God does not make the way easy. He makes it hard. God's wisdom is laid out before us in Lamentations 3:26-28. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sits alone and keeps silence because the Lord has laid it upon him. But when this happens, we are not always as wise as we think we are. And like Israel, rather than bear our trial patiently, knowing that it is for our good, we too murmur and complain. We grow short-tempered, impatient, and we even murmur in our hearts against God. That is the fruit of our flesh. Murmuring, complaining, strife, even idolatry. For truly, it is idolatry to speak against the Lord, to no longer trust in Him, or believe that He is gracious and will help us, or perhaps even that He is not able to help us. But such sin has consequences. The wages of sin is death. And so Israel learned those consequences quickly. They were reminded of what they would have without the God of salvation when the Lord brought fiery serpents among them with poisonous bites, and many people died. In the wilderness of this world, we should not forget that though the Lord makes the way hard, it is not He, but we who are sinners. Every difficulty which we face in this world is caused by sin. Even natural disasters, such as tropical storms and hurricanes, are caused by sin. For in a sinless world, such things would not happen. Some people die or suffer hardship from the sins of others, and yet even they must honestly say, "Even if this had not been brought upon me as punishment for my sin, I certainly deserve no better." When we hear of the death and destruction which comes upon the people of our own nation or of others, our response should not be, "I dodged a bullet on that one. I'm glad that didn't happen here." But rather, it should bring to mind the words of Jesus, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And even if we have repented and still must bear such hardship, how much more should we turn to the Lord, who alone is our help, and declare, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." For there is never a single moment in our life when we do not live by His mercy. Even so, the Israelites repented, that they might not perish. They understood that the punishment came from God, and was directly caused by their sin. They repented of their wicked words, and they sought help from the Lord. Perhaps he would be merciful once more as he was to their parents, and he would take away the serpents from them. And indeed, the Lord is merciful. His mercy is greater than our tongues can tell. Here in this story of rebellion is a shining light, a glorious revelation of God's wisdom, which surpasses all understanding. God instructed Moses to make a fiery serpent, literally a bronze serpent, and set it upon a pole. And all those who looked upon this serpent, even if they had been bitten and must surely die, would instead live. Here is one of the most remarkable symbols in all the Old Testament of God's plan of redemption in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The cross of Jesus serves the same purpose for us as the fiery serpent did for Israel, and more so. That serpent on the pole represented the reality of the cross. And we have only to look to Christ in faith, and we shall be saved from eternal death. But why is Christ represented in the Old Testament here as a serpent, when a serpent normally represents the devil? Because, as Isaiah foretold, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as Paul confesses in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Therefore, a serpent becomes a rather fitting symbol to represent our Lord Jesus upon his cross. Imagine what people would think if instead of having a crucifix, we had a serpent upon a pole, so that every time we looked upon the cross, we could not help but remember that all our sins were laid upon Jesus, and with all our sins, also all our punishment, and even our death. But the serpent is just the symbol, and prone to be misused. Generations later, the bronze serpent which Moses made was destroyed because Israelites began to worship it as if it were a god. But the serpent itself had no power. It was only the image of a snake and nothing more. The bronze metal of which it was made and the form which Moses gave it had no power at all to save the Israelites from the poisonous snakes or from any other calamity. How then were they saved from the fiery serpents? Because God joined his word and promise to the visible sign of the serpent, so that when anyone looked to the serpent in faith, they would not die. It was not the bronze serpent, nor was it the way in which the Israelites looked that saved them. It was the power of God at work, and it was faith which trusted in the promise which God had given. That serpent was very much like the simple elements in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The water in baptism and the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper have no special power in themselves to do anything, nor does the way in which we use them make them effective in saving souls. It is God's word and promise joined to these simple elements that makes them what they are, a means of grace whereby the forgiveness of sins comes to men. To receive the benefits of the sacraments, we have only to look to Christ and to believe those promises that God has joined to the bread and wine and to the water, and we shall be saved. And that promise is the promise of the cross. In the sacraments, we are looking to the cross where Jesus was crucified, where we see him give his body and his blood for our sins. There we see his atoning sacrifice, which made God to be at peace with men. There we see the life-giving flood which washes away all our sins. And when we look to Jesus in this way, believing what God has placed before our eyes, the sting of death and the victory of the grave are overcome. Yes, we are still in the wilderness, and the way is still hard, and it shall continue to be hard until we cross into the promised land. And until that day, we continue to face the same choice which Israel had. Continue to trust in God and believe that He will provide for every need of body and soul. Or lose hope and seek to please ourselves. That is our choice every day. But sometimes God lays it plainly before our eyes. Sometimes He sends fiery serpents to remind us of the sting of death. Sometimes He sends fierce storms that threaten to destroy much property and human life, or makeshift weapons guided by wicked men who want to destroy or terrorize, or even bad government that misuses its power and authority which God has granted to exploit rather than to protect the people whom God has given them to rule. And should we then blame God when these things happen and ask, why has He brought us into the Christian faith only to kill us in the wilderness? God forbid. Rather, may we fervently confess our sins unto Him and repent of our daily wickedness, for we surely deserve much worse. We deserve death, and that eternally, and yet He is merciful unto us. He does not always even chasten, but He comes upon us with His everlasting kindness and mercy and pours out the flood of forgiveness upon His children so that we can have no doubt that He loves us and has forgiven all our sins and will preserve us until our end. Thanks be to God that He has commuted our death sentence by laying it upon His Son Jesus. He was lifted up that we might be lifted from sin and death in Him. May we never cease to look to the cross of Jesus, where we are granted endless life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless these gifts which we offer to Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to make them fruitful in the work of Thy kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. O God, Lord of hosts, by the great and living way of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we enter into Thy gates of prayer with thanksgiving and into Thy courts with praise. We thank Thee for the declaration of Thy glory in all this vast creation, where we can know of Thine infinite power and wisdom. We praise Thee that Thou hast filled the earth with life and riches, so that men endowed with great gifts of mind and hand may harvest the fruits of his toil, find joy in the birth of each day, and rest in the peace of each night. Especially we thank Thee, O God, for the gift of Thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for His perfect revelation of Thy will, and for His holy example, and for His innocent suffering and death for our sins, that we through Him might receive the remission of sins, strength to overcome all evil, and the gift of everlasting life. And as Thy commandments are a lamp to our feet, and Thy gospel pure light for our path, we thank Thee for Thy word and the gift of Thy Holy Spirit, whereby we may read with understanding, learn with a ready mind, and receive through patience the comfort and comfort of the Scriptures, hope for time and eternity. Grant that we may ever live in the Spirit, so that led and empowered by Him, we may produce the works meet for repentance, despising the bread of wickedness and the wine of violence, and follow righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. And finally, in Thine everlasting kingdom, receive the inheritance that Thou hast promised by Thy Son. Rule and direct Thy church that it may prosper in her calling. Defend it from error and preserve it in the true faith of Thy holy name. Quicken it by Thy grace that it may show forth Thy praises in every good work, and bring to Thee the sacrifices of contrition and obedience. Uphold in our land all who are in authority, that in the maintenance of law and order we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, and serve Thee without hindrance. Bless our homes, and counsel our parents, that Thy instruction may not depart from us, but be continued in the lives of our children. We pray for all who walk the stony path of affliction with sickness, suffering, or peril. Let their way be filled with light that shines more and more brightly unto the perfect day. These and all other things which we should have sought of Thy mercy, grant unto us for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, who ever liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 402.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. The Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
this is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. His sake, thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sing hymn number 47. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.